Well, good morning, and good morning to our Norfolk campus. On Friday, I did a wedding at the historic post office in Hampton, which I had never been to before, but turns out is actually a really beautiful place to have a wedding. And it was for a young couple who are in the Navy. He works with ordnance and is actually getting ready to go to Guam in a month. And so they got married on Friday. In a month, they're going to go to Guam for 3 years, where they will be separated from family and friends and sort of on their own and starting their new life together. And as I was looking at this young couple and this beautiful wedding and thinking about the life that was ahead of them, here's the question that came into my mind, and I'd love to ask this question of you today. If there was one habit they could practice for, let's just say, the next 3 years while they're in Guam, separated from their friends and family, if there's one thing that they could incorporate into their new marriage that would grant them the best chance for success, what would you recommend they do? Just think about it for a second. If in their new relationship together, they could have just one thing be a part of their new life, what should they have be a part of the new family that they started just a couple of days ago? Here's the answer I'm going with. I'm going with forgiveness. That if they can incorporate forgiveness into their life, I think they will have the greatest chance possible of having a marriage that continues to grow in intimacy for years and years and years and years. Because I have been married 22 years now, and I know that life requires forgiveness. And if you have been alive for very long at all, you know that life requires forgiveness. In fact, even the word forgiveness for some of us is a difficult word. There are some of you here today, some of you in Norfolk, that you're in the middle of such a painful relational moment with someone that the whole idea of forgiveness just seems like a step too far. There are some of you who have blown it so severely. Maybe that's what brought you back to church today. And forgiveness is something that you are longing for. And then maybe right now you're just sort of happy and life's going on and no big forgiveness issues. Don't worry, you're going to need forgiveness in the near future, I promise. At some point, you're either going to do something, like it is a universal, it is something we need. And so as we're in this series on life's healing choices, and as we've been talking about these choices, we're coming today to a choice about forgiveness. Now, this is the last week in this series. We're stopping at 6 weeks. There are actually two additional choices in this series. But what I would say to you is, if this has been an encouragement to you, if you have found this helpful, the best way you could go deeper with this material would be to join us at Celebrate Recovery on Monday night here at Lynn Haven, or on Tuesday night at our Norfolk campus, where week after week after week, these principles, these choices are walked through. So I want to look at this sixth choice today, and then we're going to talk about forgiveness for a few minutes. The choice is this. The choice is to evaluate all my relationships, all of them, all my relationships, and offer forgiveness to those who've hurt me, and to make amends for the harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. That's the official choice in life's healing choices. I want to frame it in these two simple questions today. The first question is this: why? Why? Why should I forgive those who have hurt me? Why should you offer forgiveness? See, if you don't have a clear why, you're never going to move down that road, because offering forgiveness never feels as good as receiving forgiveness. That's the ironic thing about forgiveness. When we need it, we're like, come on. And when we've been offended, we're like, stay away. And so why? And I want to warn you, up front, that the why we're going to see today, it is an explicitly Christian why. So I'm not going to apologize for that. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you're not a Christian, I am so glad you're here today, because I want you to hear how following Jesus impacts this key aspect of our lives. But the why that I want to give you today, I'm just warning you in advance, is explicitly rooted in following Jesus. And then after we talk about why, which will actually just take not that long, the second question is this: why is forgiveness so difficult? So why should I forgive? And then why is forgiveness so difficult? Why does it seem to be so hard? So when we're going to talk about why we should offer forgiveness, there is one key verse in the scriptures. There's one key verse in the Bible that can sort of set the stage for a lifetime of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a major theme in the Bible, and we could look at dozens and dozens and dozens of passages about forgiveness, but I think this one gets to the heart of it. And it comes from a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. It's a letter gathered in the New Testament. It's called Ephesians. If you're new to reading the Bible, Ephesians is a great place to start. This letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, the first three chapters are full of some beautiful theology about who God is and what he's done for us in Christ. And then the last three chapters are all super, super practical. End of chapter 4, he gives us this gem that I'm telling you, you could take this verse and you could think about it. You could memorize it and think about it 15 minutes a day for the rest of your life and never get to the bottom of it. It is so, so deep and profound. And it tells us why we should forgive. Look at this passage, Ephesians 4, 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Why? You can imagine. Why? Well, you already know. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. The reason that as a follower of Jesus, I should forgive others. If you would call yourself a Christian today, the number one reason you should forgive others is that God has forgiven you. That's the first thing I want you to see, that God has forgiven me. And when I know that God has forgiven me, that is the fuel to forgive others. Now, I don't know if you'll believe this or not, but I think that in many ways, I'm forced to wrestle with this particular idea, maybe in a way that is different from you. And one of the ways I'm forced to wrestle with this ideal is that Sunday after Sunday, it's my job to stand up in front of you and to talk about what God has to say to us in his word and how to apply it to our lives. And more often than not, I am coming and sharing from you from a position of weakness and failure and insecurity. And it's not uncommon to stand in front of you trying to say something that is true and that I believe is true and that is God's best for you and God's best for me, while at the same time recognizing that it is not going in my life as God would have it go. And in those moments, the only way that I can stand in front of you is because I know that I'm not coming up here because I'm that good, but instead I'm coming because God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. In fact, the more I realize that God has forgiven me, the easier it is for me to forgive others. Think about it like this. This is a true idea. The more willing I am to face my need for forgiveness, the more I am willing to forgive others. You will find this to be true in your life. I have found it to be true in my life. The more willing I am to face my need for forgiveness, the more I am willing to forgive others. That's why if you wrestle with forgiveness, the answer is never to look at the person you need to forgive and figure out why they are worthy of your forgiveness. The answer is always to look inside ourselves and to realize how much forgiveness we need, how much forgiveness God has given us, and then allow that to compel us to forgive. That's why we should forgive. Now, there's a second reason I want to share with you why you should forgive that's just really practical. The second reason is this. It's because resentment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. Some of you are aware that a couple years ago, through a variety of circumstances, I embarked on this journey to discover that I had feelings. And so I got a feelings doctor, sometimes called a counselor. And I've had a couple different ones. A couple years ago, I started with a guy down in Atlanta. And I don't know, this is a year and a half or so ago. I was driving to see a buddy who's a pastor at a church in Chesapeake, at Real Life Church in Chesapeake. This is the church that a few years ago was struck by a tornado. You may remember when that happened. Well, Drew, their pastor, is a good friend, and so they were just getting ready to reopen their church after it had been destroyed by the tornado. It took a long time for it to rebuild, and so I'm driving from here down to Chesapeake, and as I was going, I saw a podcast pop up on my podcast feed by the New York Times on forgiveness. I thought, well, that's interesting. What does the New York Times have to say about forgiveness? What's their perspective? I'm a pastor. You know, I should be interested in forgiveness, and I'd be curious, you know, how does this conversation go apart from Jesus. And so I was listening to this podcast on forgiveness, and it was very interesting. And as I'm driving down to Chesapeake, all of a sudden, I remember something that my wife had done that really hurt me. Now, right now, I don't even remember what it was, but a year and a half ago or so, it was a really big deal in my heart. I was really hurt by this thing. And as I'm driving, listening to this New York Times podcast about forgiveness, I find myself less and less forgiving. I mean, it's the great irony. And so I'm getting more and more angry at my wife, and I get off on Indian River, and I start to go down Centerville Turnpike, and as I do, all of a sudden, it pops into my mind that she has already apologized. And not only has she apologized, but I remember that she gave me a great apology. And now I'm confused, because I am getting angry at her while at the same time recognizing that she has apologized. Well, I go and, you know, see the building and do the thing. Hey, good job, Drew, pray, whatever. I'm driving back to Virginia Beach, and it just so happens that I had a phone conference with my counselor who lives in Atlanta. That app scheduled for that afternoon. And so we, you know, get back to the office, whatever. It's time for that conference call. I'm at my standing desk, phone's on speakerphone. And I say, Neil, let me tell you what happened. I'm driving, I'm listening to this podcast, I'm driving down the road, and I'm getting more and more angry as I listen to this story about forgiveness. And then I remember that my wife has apologized. What's going on? Can you help me? What's happening inside of me? And he said, Eric, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that you have discovered a new emotion. The bad news is that emotion is resentment. It's like, oh, that's what resentment feels like. I'm actually familiar with this. I just didn't have a name for it. Never helps. Resentment never helps. When you and I choose to be unforgiving towards someone else, the only person we are hurting is ourselves. It's the only person we're ever hurting. And so even if you're not a follower of Jesus today, I would encourage you to consider exploring the road of forgiveness. Because forgiveness is what's best for you and for me. It's why we should forgive. But that's just the first question. Why should we forgive? The second question is, why is forgiveness so difficult? Why should I forgive those who have hurt me? Because God has forgiven me in Christ, because resentment doesn't work. Why is forgiveness so difficult? And I think the reason that forgiveness is so difficult, and the tact we're going to go in, and maybe this will be a little different take on forgiveness than you've heard before. I think one of the reasons forgiveness is so difficult is that forgiveness requires us to look at situations with God's wisdom rather than our own. It requires us to look at life with God's wisdom rather than our own. When I look at life just from my perspective, from my point of view, with my wisdom, forgiveness is hard to get to. And so what I want to do today is look at what the scriptures have to say about how God's wisdom applies to our lives. And specifically, we're going to look at one more passage today. And this one was written by Jesus' brother, James. Jesus' brother, James. Now, I love to say this every time we talk about this letter that James wrote. James grew up as Jesus' brother. And James, the whole time Jesus was alive, did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but Jesus died and rose again. And when Jesus rose again, James put his faith in Jesus, not as his brother, but as his Lord. And I want to ask you, if you have a brother or a sister, what would your brother or sister have to do to convince you that they were the Lord of the universe? Can you imagine? Well, Jesus did it for James by rising from the dead. And when your older brother comes back from the dead and proves that he is the Son of God, you get to be a leader in the church. And so James became a leader in the early church, and he wrote this incredibly practical letter. We call it cleverly the Book of James. And here's what James has to say about wisdom, and we're going to look at it in light of forgiveness. He asked this question. It's an important question for us to wrestle with today. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is it? How do you know if someone is wise and understanding? In your small group, in your community group, how do you know if someone is wise and understanding? At your office, on your serving team? Well, oftentimes what we tend to think today in our modern world is that wisdom equals knowledge. But does it? That's why I added the question mark there. Wisdom equals knowledge? See, it's easy to be impressed by people's knowledge, especially if you're newer to faith, if you're coming to church after not being in church growing up and you're coming back as an adult. It's a scary thing. Like, I have so much incredible respect for people who are willing to come to a church environment after not growing up in it, because it feels like everybody knows more than you. Feels like everybody has all this insider language, and they know all the stuff, all the disciples, and all the commandments, and all the whatever. And it's tempting to believe that wisdom equals knowledge. But we're going to see in just a minute that wisdom does not equal knowledge. In fact, it's actually the opposite of that. Wisdom does not equal knowledge. Wisdom equals living by God's ideal. Because there are a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible and would ace any Bible trivia contest you could give them. If you saw, you were watching Jeopardy and Bible came up, they'd get the whole column right. They'd start with 1,000 and work their way back up at Bible Jeopardy. But their life is a mess. But their life is a mess. And so James says, who is the wise and understanding among you? And then he tells us in verse 13, look at what he says. He says, who is the wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their what? By their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. These are the way we relate to others. A good life. Show me a person who has a good life apart from forgiveness. Deeds done in humility. What takes more humility than forgiveness? And that comes from wisdom. See, it's easy for us to think, forgiveness, how big a deal is it really? Well, it's kind of a big deal. It reminds me of a couple weeks ago, my 13-year-old daughter is playing soccer. And so we were at her soccer game, and she plays defense. And I like to say that soccer is a great game for children. And so that's just my... See, there are no soccer fans in the room here at Lynn Haven. It's great. You all understand. You're with me, right? Football. Anyway, it's not important. That was an aside. That was a dig at my good friend and campus pastor over in Norfolk, Ryan Levis, who loves soccer. It's my favorite way to tease Ryan is when he talks about how much he loves soccer. Ryan, it's a great game for children. So my child... Thank you. That's the delivery I was looking for. So my child is playing soccer, and towards the end of the first half, she makes this great sliding save. Plays deep, makes this great sliding save. But when she gets up, she's limping. She's limping, and she has to come out of the game. So we're like, is Lydia okay? You know, how's she doing? And you're doing the mom and dad thing. Like, do we go over there? Like, you know what? No, right? We're just let coach handle it. If it's bad and they need us, they'll come get us. We're just, right across the field. So they don't come get us. Halftime, towards the end of the second half, Lydia goes back in the game. Oh, well, that's great. She goes back in the game. And so we figure, well, if you can play the end of the game, nothing's wrong. So we get home from the game, and she says, yeah, my ankle sort of hurts. And I'm like, you played in the game, you'll be fine. It's time for they practice on Sunday afternoons, and so it's time ready to go to practice. And should we send her to practice? We're like, yeah, you'll be fine. You played in the second half of the game. So we send her to practice. She gets to practice. Her coach looks at her ankle and says, Lydia, you're going to sit over here and tell your parents you can't come to practice for the rest of the week. Because that's the kind of parents we are. Send her to practice. And what we tend to do is treat forgiveness and unforgiveness in our lives the same way Ashley and I were treating Lydia's sprained ankle. We think, well, it's just unforgiveness. How big a deal could it be? Just get back in the game. When in reality, unforgiveness, choosing to not walk by God's wisdom but my wisdom, choosing unforgiveness rather than forgiveness is a really, really big deal. And James shows it to us in the starkest of ways. Look at what he says about not walking in God's wisdom. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy, what does unforgiveness lead to? It leads to bitter envy. When you can't forgive someone, isn't it true that you look at everything good in their life and you want it for yourself and you think they don't deserve it? When you have unforgiveness towards someone, every good thing in their life seems like something that you should have instead of them. And selfish ambition, isn't the heart of unforgiveness wanting what you want? I want what I want when I want it because I deserve it. And all of your righteousness is actually self-righteousness ruled by selfish ambition. In your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you've got these things, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Actually, this is the soft part. Look at what he says next. You think this is tough? Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And demonic. So I want to put this on like what I'm calling the wisdom line. Like I have a number line. This is my wisdom line. This is how we want to think about wisdom. We want to think that it's a continuum like this. So there's God's wisdom over here, and I know that in God's wisdom, I have to be forgiving. But sometimes I don't want to be forgiving, and so that's my wisdom, which is pretty close to God's wisdom. And after my wisdom, if you go down the line, you get to earthly wisdom. That's less good. Unspiritual wisdom, that's, nah, yeah, that's really, but then demonic is like way at the other end. And so what we tell ourselves is, I mean, I know I'm not forgiving. I know I'm not doing what God has asked me to do, but I mean, it's really close. How big a deal is unforgiveness? Well, this is my wisdom line. This is your wisdom line. Let me show you God's wisdom line. This is the way God's wisdom line looks. God's wisdom, everybody else. This is how it works. When we choose to not walk in forgiveness, James is saying, when we choose to not walk in God's wisdom in any arena of life, it's not just like that we're a degree away from God. What he's saying is, no, your wisdom, Eric, when you choose to not walk in my wisdom and you choose to not offer forgiveness, you are earthly, unspiritual, demonic. That's strong words. But those are the options. Those are the options. That's why I want us to remember the reason God says this to us, the reason James writes it like this in such stark terms is this. Forgiveness is God's best for you. Forgiveness is God's best for you. The reason he encourages us to forgive one another is that he loves us. The reason so much of following Jesus is rooted on forgiveness is that forgiveness is God's best for you, and he doesn't want you to miss out on his best. Now, we don't have time to go into all of this. Don't confuse forgiveness with sweeping things under the rug. Oh, no, no, no. When people hurt you, sometimes there needs to be separation. Sometimes there need to cut off unsafe people. Sometimes we need to make people not a part of our lives anymore. That doesn't mean you can't forgive them. Forgiveness is what happens in you, and forgiveness is God's best for you. And here's why. Look at how he goes on. For where you have envy and selfish ambition and earthly and demonic wisdom, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Think about the parts of your life where you lack forgiveness. There's disorder. Things aren't right. Evil practice. We tend to go and do things that we know we wouldn't recommend anyone else do. But what's the other side when we walk in God's wisdom? Look at what he says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, God's wisdom, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Let me put it on the wisdom line like this, right? God's wisdom line. God's wisdom, my wisdom. We get considerate, peace-loving, merciful, earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Which side do you want for your life? Which one of these do you want to mark your life? When we choose to walk in our wisdom, that is the side we're living on, and it's not degrees. It's God's way and it's my way. And the invitation to follow Jesus is to submit ourselves to God's way. Why? Because forgiveness is God's best for you. Forgiveness is God's best for you. The irony of recognizing that forgiveness is God's best for us, and I don't mean irony in a negative sense, I mean the beautiful, glorious irony, is that none of us live up to God's ideal. None of us. The beautiful irony of following Jesus is that when we recognize that forgiveness is God's best for you, it's not just you forgiving others. It's you walking in the forgiveness that is available to you as you follow Jesus. It's not this burden. It's not this burden that you have to now forgive all the people who've hurt you and you're just weighted under this pile and I don't know how I'm going to live up to. No, that's not it. That's not where it starts. It starts with the beautiful mystery of the gospel that time after time after time, your Heavenly Father offers you and me forgiveness, and He will never, ever stop forgiving you. What was the passage we looked at? At the very beginning? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. The first step is to recognize that your Heavenly Father offers you forgiveness through His Son, Jesus. And today you can say, you know what, God, I have made a mess of my life, and you might think that your mess is too big for God to clean up. It is not. You might come in this morning and you are just burdened and weighted down by what's happened in the past week. It is not too much. In Christ, God offers you forgiveness. And then, in light of the forgiveness you have received, He invites us to forgive each other. Now, I don't know how much clearer to say it. We all have the choice. Do you want to be me in the car driving to Chesapeake for the rest of your life? Or do you want to walk in forgiveness? And forgiveness is always God's best for you. And so today, I want to ask you to consider two simple ideas. The first is, do you need to receive forgiveness? Maybe this is the first time you're considering this. Maybe you've been a Christian for 40 years. It doesn't matter. We never outgrow our need for forgiveness. Would you be willing to receive forgiveness? In order to receive forgiveness, you do have to name what you've done. In order to receive forgiveness from God, you have to tell Him what you've done, specifically. That's what He invites us to do. Would you receive that forgiveness today? And the beautiful thing about receiving forgiveness is you can be done with your self-righteousness and your insecurity. You don't have to think too much or too little of yourself. Would you be willing to receive forgiveness from God today? Simply by telling Him what you need to be forgiven for and knowing that He will forgive you because of Jesus. And the second one is the hard one. Is there anybody in your life you need to forgive? And if today you're saying, Eric, if you knew my story, if you knew the pain, if you knew how hard it was, how broken things have been, if you knew what He had done to me, Eric, you'd know how hard that would be. And you know what? I believe you. If I knew your story, if I'd lived your story, I believe you. So if you can't, maybe today you just say, God, would you help me to begin? Would you help me to begin to forgive the people who have hurt me? Let me tell you why. Because forgiveness is God's best for you. And He wants you to forgive because He loves, because He loves, because He loves you. So I'd like to pray for us today. And I'd like to pray that God would give us the grace to both ask for forgiveness and to offer forgiveness. That we could be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God has forgiven us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And we ask, first of all, that You would allow us to confess our sin to You. Would You give us the grace to ask You to forgive every sin, every way we have offended You, every way we have gone and violated our own conscience? In big and small ways, may we be people who walk in forgiveness. And then, Heavenly Father, would You give us the miracle to be a community of people who extend that forgiveness to others. God, would You free us from resentment? Would you free us from that trap and from that pain? God, would you open us up that your forgiveness would be the hallmark of our relationships, of our lives? We can't do it on our own. We need your grace. And we pray that you would give it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.